Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. We're starting with text 4. I guess we'll chant this one, and then there's some, have to read some more till we get to one with a purport. But we'll chant this one. Tasya Pradurabhut Tata Bhagavan Adipurushaha Pitavasash Chatur Bahu Shankar Chakra Gada Daraha Tasya Pradura Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purushaha Pita Vasas Chatur Bahu Shankha Chakra Gadadaraha Tasya Pradura Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purushaha Pita Vasas Chatur Bahu Shankha Chakra Gadadaraha Tasya Pradura Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purushaha Pita Vasas Chatur Bahu Shankha Chakra Gadadaraha Tasya Pradura Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purushaha Vasa Satur Bahu Naraka Gadadhara Yapada Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purusha Satur Bahu Tasya Pradura Bhutata Bhagavan Adi Purusha Pita Vasa Satur Bahu Yachakra Gadahara Yata Tasya Pradura Bhutata Vaishnavis? Asya Padura Bhutata Alaradi Purusha Ito Vasa Sutur Bahu Akra Padura Bhutata Purusha Tasyaha before her Pradura Bhut appeared. Tata, my dear king, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adi Purushaha, the original person. Pita Vasaha, dressed in yellow garments. Chatuhu Bahu, with four arms. Shankha Chakra Gadadhara, bearing the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear king, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, dressed in yellow garments and bearing a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in his four hands, then appeared before Aditi. Please repeat. My dear king, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, dressed in yellow garments and bearing a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in his four hands, then appeared before Aditi. So there's no purport. I'll read the translations for the next few verses until we come to a purport. So, text 5. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead became visible to Aditi's eyes, Aditi was so overwhelmed by transcendental bliss that she at once stood up and then fell to the ground like a rod to offer the Lord her respectful obeisances. Text 6. Aditi stood silently with folded hands, unable to offer prayers to the Lord. Because of transcendental bliss, tears filled her eyes, and the hairs on her body stood on end. Because she could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, she felt ecstasy and her body trembled. Text 7. O Maharaj Parikshit, the demigoddess Aditi then began offering her prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a faltering voice and with great love. She appeared as though drinking through her eyes the Supreme Lord, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, and the master and lord of the entire universe. Purport. After observing the Payovrata, Aditi was certain that the Lord had appeared before her as Ramapati, the husband of all good fortune, just to offer her sons all opulences. She had performed the yajna of Payovrata under the direction of her husband, Kashyapa, and therefore she thought of the Lord as Yajnapati. She was completely satisfied to see the Master and the Lord of the entire universe come before her to fulfill her desire. Om jnana tamarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuran militamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Aditi has performed the Payavrata sacrifice, and the Lord has appeared before her, and she's drinking in the beauty of the form of the Lord through her eyes, and she's about to offer her prayers. But you know, we see that if we study all the Vedic literature, this is not the most beautiful form of the Lord. You know, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna displayed his universal form to Arjuna. This is a very wondrous form. But Arjuna was disturbed by it. You can't really love the universal form. It's too awesome. I guess that's the word for it. Of course, awe means, if you're in awe of something, you're generally very fearful of it. So it means fear-inspiring. So it's a fear-inspiring form where Krishna in his form of eternal time is devouring all souls. Kalosmi lokashaya krit. Krishna says there, time I am, destroyer of the worlds. And of course, we have in the museum here, when it's running, you know, a nice exhibit of the universal form. It is very awe-inspiring. But after that, in order to calm Arjuna down, Krishna appeared to him in his forearm form, like he's appearing here to Aditi in a forearm form. And that's a very beautiful form. But it's not the ultimate form. And then after that, Krishna says, now I'm going to show you a form that I rarely show, my Saumyavapur, my very beautiful form, my very beautiful two-arm form. And that is the most beautiful form of Krishna. Venam pranantam aravinda dalayataksham barhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandar pakoti kamaniya vishashashabam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. We pray every morning when the deities are revealed to us. So, Krishna with his beautiful lotus face, his flute, his threefold bending form. This is the most attractive and beautiful form of Krishna. So it's also said that the gopis would drink through their eyes the beauty of Lord Krishna's form. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the wrestling arena at Mathura, the ladies of Mathura were commenting on the good fortune of the gopis, the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. They're saying, what austerities, Gopyastapa Kim, what austerities must they have performed to have the privilege of always drinking in the beauty of Lord Krishna's form through their eyes. What austerities must they have performed to be in that position? So Krishna's form, it's described as being extremely beautiful. And it's so beautiful. Normally, an ordinary person, they decorate their body in different ways with different ornaments and dresses to improve their beauty or attractiveness or handsomeness. You know, sometimes we see there's a man, a guy who's very sharply dressed. We think, oh, that makes him look good, that dress or that ring or that necklace. It makes him look good. Or a lady, you know, maybe dressed very attractively, and you think, okay, yeah, those ornaments and that dress are making them look good. But it said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's not the case with Krishna. It's Krishna is the one who's beautifying the ornaments. And just like we can see, the deities are dressed very beautifully every day. And if you see the dress of Radha and Krishna on a hanger in the pujari room, it looks nice. It looks nice. The jewels look nice if you see them on a tray. But when they're placed on the transcendental forms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwarkadish, we can see that they beautify the dresses. They beautify the ornaments. So the dress may look very nice on its hanger, but when it's on Radharani, when it's on Rukmini Devi, when it's on Krishna, Dwarkadish, it looks extremely beautiful. And the minds and the eyes of the devotees are attracted to these things. It said that they drink in the beauty of Krishna with their eyes. And it inspires them to engage in pure devotional service. So it's a different kind of mood than the mood being expressed here, which is more in the mood of awe and reverence. You know, Krishna has many different forms. You know, he has his four-arm Narayan forms, which are originally present in different Vaikuntha planets, and sometimes he manifests them in this world. And the devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, where those Narayan forms are eternally situated, they worship Lord Narayan in a mood of awe and reverence, fully conscious of his position of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the spiritual sky, in Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna resides in his two-arm form, the devotees are under the influence of yoga maya there, so that they don't really understand consciously at all times, although they may have some glimpse from time to time, that Krishna actually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority. They're spontaneously attracted to Krishna with pure loving devotion, and Krishna relishes that pure loving spontaneous devotional service. So Aditi is in this mood of awe and reverence, and you know, she has prayed to the Lord for something for herself and for her family members, for her sons. as we go on in this chapter, we're going to see, you know, that Krishna kind of explains to her, "Now I know what you worship me for. You know, your sons have been pushed out of their positions by the demons, and you'd like me to kill all these demons so that their wives will cry and lament, and you want to see that. You want to see their wives crying over their dead bodies. I know that's what you want." So it's a different kind of mood than the love, the kind of love and devotion that the residents of Vrindavan express towards their Lord Krishna. And you know, the Lord explains to Aditi, we're going to see later in this chapter, well, actually it's not the time for that kind of thing. Because, you know, the demons have been serving their spiritual master so nicely, they're now in a very powerful position, so it wouldn't be right for me to respond with violence towards them and conquer them, as I sometimes do. But in this particular case, I'm going to have to engage in a little trickery to get the heavenly planets back from them to give to your sons, the demigods. But the point is this is in a particular mood. Of course, it's necessary to understand this particular mood. It's a stage in devotional service. But in terms of the progression of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see that that different modes of worship of Krishna are presented. But finally, in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this spontaneous, loving, devotional service as rendered by the inhabitants of Vrindavan is held up as the highest example. But in order to get there, we have to go through all the preliminary stages of devotional service. So we're being presented with Aditi performing the Payavrata ceremony and worshiping the Lord with awe and reverence and with a mixed motive. You know, she's not just totally inspired by the beauty of Krishna. She has her own motives for wanting to worship the Supreme Lord. She wants something in return, and she'll get it. And this is a stage of devotional service. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo daridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapuman. Stated, whether one is free from all desire, or has material desires, or simply wants liberation, the correct thing to do is to very intensely worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but in his most attractive form, Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. Mostly people are attracted by the form of the opposite sex, motivated by Madan, it's another name for Cupid. So Cupid represents this material attraction to the beautiful form of a man or woman for personal sense gratification. But Krishna is so attractive, he can conquer over Cupid, Madan Mohan. So that means one who can bewilder even Cupid. So Krishna's power of attraction can overcome the power of the attraction of Maya or Cupid. And therefore, this Madan Mohan deity is the first deity that's worshipped in Vrindavan. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's description that in Vrindavan there are three principal deities: Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. And they represent different aspects of devotional service: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So Sambandha means the connection between the soul and Krishna, the relationship. Jivara Srupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. The soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. This has to be understood. So the Madan Mohan deity is in charge of that Sambandha aspect of devotional service, establishing the relationship. So, actually, in the first temple I lived in, the Washington, D.C. temple, the deity there is Madan Mohan. It's a blackish form of Krishna with a brass Radharani. And I was looking on the devotee website, Dandavats, recently. They had an article on there about how those deities came to be manifest. When the devotees were in the first ISKCON temple at 26 2nd Avenue, sometimes they would go to an import shop, an Indian import shop run by a man named Mr. Sarna. And so the devotees would go there, Brahmananda, Gargamuni. They would go to that shop to buy things for the little gift shop in 26 2nd Avenue. So temple gift shops have been around for a long time, since the very beginning. So they would notice in this shop this little form of Krishna. But they didn't say anything, but they definitely noticed that this man had in his shop, this beautiful little deity of Krishna, black form, black stone form of Krishna. Then one day they got a phone call, and the man just said, "I want you to come. I've got something to give you." And he said, "I want you to have this deity of Krishna," just out of the blue. So they took it back to 26 2nd Avenue, and he stayed there for some time. And then they went to another place on 2nd Avenue, and he stayed there. And then he went to the Brooklyn Temple, when they got the Brooklyn Temple. And at some point, some devotees went to Washington, D.C. There was a devotee named Damodar who became the president of that temple. And Srila Prabhupada wanted this deity, who he called Madan Mohan, to go to the Washington, D.C. temple. But he said, "You have to have a partner for him. It's just Krishna. He should have Radharani." So there was one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Yamuna Devi, who was in Vrindavan, and she was instructed to get a Radharani to accompany this deity. And she did that, and the deity was flown to JFK Airport in New York City, and Damodar, the Washington Temple president, went there and got her, brought her back to Washington, and then the deities were installed, and they're still there today. And those are the first deities, first Radha Krishna deities that I saw. And they are very beautiful. And all the forms of Radha and Krishna, Rukmini, Dwarkadish, etc., that Srila Prabhupada installed, or that his devotees installed under his direction, are offering us their mercy. They are presenting themselves in the Archavigraha form so that we can become attracted to that form. So that Madan Mohan form is in charge of the Sambandha principle of devotional service, and then Radha Govindaji is in charge of Abhideya, the actual practical performance of devotional service. And then Radha Gopinath is in charge of Prayojana, the goal, pure spontaneous love for Radha and Krishna, which were meant to develop. So Krishna, he's known as Bhagavan, means he's got all opulences. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnana vairagyos chaiva sanam bhagamitingana. This is from the Vishnu Purana. It describes that Krishna has six opulences. Aishvarya means wealth, virya, strength, yasha, fame, shriya, beauty, which we're talking about today. Krishna is extremely beautiful. And then he also has jnana, knowledge, and vairagya, renunciation. But Krishna fully possesses the opulence of beauty, and therefore he attracts the eyes of the residents of Vrindavan, and they're always drinking his beauty through their eyes. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But they would complain about their eyes. And in the 21st chapter of the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is explaining this to Sanatan Goswami. And he's explaining how the gopis were protesting. You've only given us, they were protesting the Creator, Lord Brahma. And Lord Chaitanya was kind of expressing their feelings. He was speaking in a very ecstatic mood to Sanatana Goswami. What have you done? You've only given us two eyes. How can we fully appreciate Krishna's beauty with just two eyes? We need millions of eyes. What to speak of the fact that you've only given us two eyes, if those two eyes blink. So for that microsecond, we can't see Krishna's beauty. So Lord Chaitanya was saying, what kind of creator are you? I'll tell you how to create. Give us millions of unblinking eyes, and then we'll be satisfied. If you would do that, you would actually be a good creator. So, but the point is that the beauty of Krishna, when drunk by the eyes of the residents of Vrindavan, inspired them to engage in pure devotional service to Krishna and give Krishna pleasure in that way. So, we should drink in the beauty of Krishna through our eyes and be inspired in devotional service. So I'll stop there. Anybody have any question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.